Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I believe that the Lord has given me a word from this church. I believe healing has already taken place and God's going to continue to flow. I believe that you can be healed if you haven't received a healing. I believe that God wants to speak to us. I'm not just talking about physical healings. I believe mental and emotional healing. God's wanting to release it here. He's been speaking very clearly on what he's trying to do here in this church. Genesis chapter 41, beginning with verse number 50. And the Bible says, "And to Joseph were born two sons before the year of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharnah, priest of On, bore to him." Watch this. "Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me to forget all my toil in my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of mine affliction." Two sons, one named Manasseh, the other one named Ephraim. He was intentional on naming him those because of things that he had went through in his life and what God did towards the end of his life. And there's been a theme here about wrestling and dealing with things of our past and letting God help us overcome. I'm gonna tell you, we are testimonies of being overcomers. The only reason why I'm here is because of the grace of God. The grace of God. Some of you know my testimony. Losing my father at 13 from drugs. Mom was 16 years old. Thank you, brother. 16 years old when she had me. Went through all kinds of trauma and abuse and everything. But I am a testimony that God can turn things around in your life. He can bring a healing in your life. And he can change absolutely everything. I don't care who you are, what your past is, what you've been through. Our God is not finished with you. You are here for a purpose in Jesus' name. And for just a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to you from trauma to triumph. From trauma to triumph. If you believe that, I feel some of you already receiving that title. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you just begin to lift up your hands? And would you begin to lift up your voice right now in the name of Jesus? Come on. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your spirit that's here. I thank you for the anointing that's here. I thank you for those, God, that you are speaking to. The Spirit of the Lord is here. God, we stand on your word. I loose the gifts of healing. I loose the gift of faith. I loose it, God, now in the name of Jesus. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do and what you've already done. Lord God, let there be a divine flow of your spirit. It's by your anointing, your power. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Now, would you clap your hands and give God a praise this morning? Hallelujah! Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Yes, sir. Thank you. Praise God. What God has truly ever wanted from the very beginning of time is growth, fruitful growth, healthy growth. You see that when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, you see the very first commandment that he gives is, then God blessed them and God said to them, watch this, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Oftentimes we need to go back to Genesis, go back into the garden to see what God's original intention was for man. It has always been and it always will be God's intention for fruitful, multiplied growth. God desires his people to be fruitful. God desires his people to multiply, and God desires his people to grow. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm thankful when you see it even in the physical. Our daughter, she's not meant to stay that size. We're going to see her grow in the physical. But can I tell you, that's not just a principle for the physical. I don't care if you've been in church, maybe this is your first time, or you've been in church for 5 years or 10 years. We are all on this journey together. We might be growing at different rates, but it is the will of God that all of us grow in the faith. Be fruitful and multiply. It's what God has established on earth from the very beginning of time. And we see how important this is, because when God used the flood to start over again with creation in Noah, we see that Noah gets out of the boat and God speaks a commandment to him when he's getting ready to start over all again with humanity. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Being fruitful is serious business in the kingdom of God. It is the heartbeat of God that we bear fruit. It is the heartbeat of God that we multiply. It is the heartbeat of God that we grow in the Spirit, because it is the fruit of our lives, and my wife has already talked about it. It is the fruit of our lives that allows God to get the glory here on earth. The more fruit I am bearing, the more others can taste and see the goodness of the Lord in my life. The more fruit you bear, the more others will see the goodness of the Lord, and God will be glorified. In John 15:8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You see, producing fruit is a process. Growing takes time, and it is a process. But if you are willing to let the process work in your life, God is willing to do a work in your life. God is willing to grow you. God will not give up on you. I don't care if you've messed up, you've fallen down. Hey, a righteous man falls 7 times, but guess what? He gets back up again. I don't care what you did even last night. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Come on, somebody. You've got to believe that God's not finished with me yet. He's still doing a work in my life, and I'm determined that I'm going to grow in the I'm not giving up. I'm going to grow in the faith. Everybody say fruitful, multiplied, growth. It is the will of God that we grow. It is the will of God that we bear fruit. It is the will of God that we be connected in Him. And we serve a God that desires to do the miraculous in your life. Is there anybody that believes that we serve a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God that will be with you till the very end? It's just been in my spirit this whole week that oftentimes the trying of our faith is the strengthening of our faith. And those times that you are tried in the faith are those seasons and those moments in your life where God is trying to strengthen your faith. And God is trying to build character in you. And God is trying to teach you how to depend on Him and how to walk with Him and how to trust Him through everything in your life. I know you may be going through a trial. You may be going through a season. It may be hard, but this trial is not sent to kill you. It will work to strengthen you if you allow yourself to stay connected. Clap your hands if you believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've talked a lot about trauma. It's already come up. God's already confirmed this message multiple times. And perhaps one of the greatest stories throughout Scripture, when you see the life of Joseph, you see the life of a man that went through severe trauma. You see the life of a man that went through severe trials. You see the life of a man that went through severe hardships. It is a message, his life, of absolute hope of what God can do in your life despite the fact of things that may have happened to you long before. Even in his teenage years, we see Joseph, this young man, being betrayed by his family, being betrayed by his own brothers. Sometimes some of the greatest trauma can come out of our own family. Some of the things we've gone through as a child, some of the things we've gone through in our teenage years. Joseph's story teaches us that he dealt with severe betrayal, severe backstabbing. He has this dream at 17 years old that God is going to do a work in his life. And God's going to do a miracle in his life. And he starts sharing his dreams with all of his brothers. Not everybody is going to be happy with you along the way when you're trying to follow God. You can't let that discourage you. Sometimes when you take steps to move towards God, family can be one of the number one things that resists you from getting to God. But if you make it up in your mind, hey, I lived it. My stepfather fought me physically for 9 years. He hated the church. He said it's demonic. It's devil. I mean, he came at it. It was like fighting hell when I came into the church at 19 and a half years old. He fought it tooth and nail. He was resisting. I'd come home excited after a move of God and there would be hell and chaos going out. Can I tell you, in 2020, God brought him to an altar, filled him with the Holy Ghost. He's now in church, a part of the men's committee. Come on, somebody. I don't care who's resisting you. Don't give up. God can still do a work. Hallelujah. God's brought him in, brought my mom and my whole family. It had been 9 years of hell, 9 years of suffering, 9 years of pain and backstabbing from your own family. But can I tell you, don't give up. God still, I don't care if your baby's backslidden, keep praying, keep fasting, keep coming to the altar and trust the Lord. He's not finished with them yet. Come on and clap your hands if you believe that. Come on, somebody. He's not done. He's not finished. It's a miracle what he's done. Kayla can attest to it. It was an amazing thing, and he sold out to this thing. God can do it. And we see Joseph being betrayed by his own brothers. But not only being betrayed, he's being abused. He's being thrown into a pit. He's being sold into slavery. His own father is rejecting him. He's dealing with a rejection wound of his father. He's dealing with betrayal in his own brothers. He's dealing with abuse, being thrown into a pit. And not only did they throw him, some of them wanted to kill him. Some of them wanted to destroy him. But not only that, they decided that they were going to sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Now, if you study out the Ishmaelites, they were brutal people. Brutal. Ishmael was a wild man, the Bible says. You know, that slavery that he was in was hard slavery. The Bible doesn't give details all that he went through, but I'm sure there were whippings. I'm sure there were beatings. I'm sure there was a lot of pain involved of what Joseph had to go through. I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure he cried many tears. And through that process, God is taking him through. God's not trying to kill him. He's just leading his life to a great and higher calling. Sometimes you don't always understand what God has taken you through. Sometimes you don't always understand the pain that you have to go through. But can I tell you, it can work for good if you don't give up and you don't quit and you say, God, I might not understand it, but I trust you with all of my heart. Do I have anybody in here that trusts the Lord through your circumstance, through your situation? I trust God. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank account says. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to come to the house of the Lord and worship my
That's it. Clap your hands if you believe that right now. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that he ends up in Potiphar's house and he's still being a slave. And even at that, so he's been through all this trauma, the trauma of his teenage years, the trauma of betrayal, the trauma of abuse, the trauma of being sold into slavery. And now he has a false accusation that rises up against him of something he didn't even do. Come on, I know it hurts when people lie against you. I know it hurts when the devil's lying to your mind, but you've got to know that you know that you know that I didn't do it, and God is going to see me through it. And Joseph had a faith, and Joseph had a belief that through this trauma, now they're lying on me. And Potiphar throws him in the prison, and now he's in jail for something he didn't even do. I don't know about you, but I jump into the story when I read scripture. They're not just little, these aren't just little stories that you hear. This is life. This happened to a person. Can you imagine going through all this? Now he's in prison for something he didn't even do. All the abuse, all the betrayal, just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. And now he finds himself at the lowest of lows. Anybody ever felt like that? Come on, this can't get any worse. And next thing you know, it gets worse. I've been there. We've been there. We've had to pray through it. We've had to dance through it. We've had to trust the Lord through it. And his sovereignty can be trusted. Joseph just keeps a right spirit. God has given me a dream. God has given me a vision. All this pain's got to be working for a greater purpose. All of this pain has got to be working for something greater. And even in the prison, we find Joseph using his giftings. We see Joseph still trusting the Lord. We see Joseph keeping a right spirit. See, that's the keys to your trials and trauma, is that you learn how to respond with a right spirit. You learn how to respond with the right people, godly counsel. Oh, I feel this right now. The reason why some people get so sidetracked when they're trying to get a healing from God and be healed from all their trauma is because they don't seek godly counsel. The wrong counsel can sway you and turn you the other direction so quick. You've got to stay on the path that God's taken you. And healing oftentimes is a process. It's not always instantaneous. A miracle can happen instantaneous. But oftentimes when God is wanting to do a healing, he will put you through process of pain, of tears, of trust, learning how to walk with him. And Joseph is going through all this. And even Joseph gets to a place in his life where he's still using the gifts that God has given him with a right spirit. And next thing you know, because Joseph gets a right spirit, you never know when God's going to open the door. But the door opened for him to step outside of that prison and end up to the place of second in command to Potiphar. Just like that, everything changed in his life. All of that he went through to get him to that place. Now he's second in command to Pharaoh. God has elevated him and God has used him. And now he is used to be at a place where he restores his whole family. He's at a place, sister, my wife, she talked about it. He's at a place where he can literally, the brothers that killed him. Brother Nate, he talked about it this morning. He's at an opportunity. Those same brothers that wanted to kill him and enslaved him were the ones that came to him when he was at that place to give them food. He had the authority and the power to kill them. But the love of God was flowing in his heart. He had learned so much through everything that he'd been through that he was going to keep a right spirit. He was going to keep a right heart. He was going to show forgiveness. He was going to show love. He was going to show mercy. He had learned God and the things of God and how to walk with God through everything that he had been through in his life. It's a great story when you study out his life and you study out the trauma and you really get deep and realize that all of us here have dealt with some type of trauma, some type of hurt, some type of pain. I could go round and round of all of us that have gone through things, and I know many of you could stand up and testify. I think it's a real thing. Trauma has become a real buzzword. It's a real buzzword. Even now, we hear it in the church, but I want us to see trauma through the lens of Scripture. I want us to see trauma through the lens of what the Word of God says. And I want us to learn about how God used people of God to overcome traumatic experiences and traumatic events in their life where they became overcomers. And Joseph's one of those. And when you see in Exodus 1, 8 through 12, Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them.'" Watch this. "Lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the field. Therefore they sent taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens." And they built for Pharaoh's supply cities, Pithoms and Ramses. But watch this. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Oh. Why was the enemy afflicting them? Because he was afraid of what they were becoming. Sometimes the trial that you're going through is proof that the enemy is afraid for you to go to where God is calling you to go. That's why you've got to stay in to the very end. Don't leave before you get your miracle or your breakthrough. God's not finished with you yet. Oh. It's a win-win. Because the Bible teaches us that even the affliction is what was causing growth. So if the enemy is afflicting me, this has to be working for good in my life if I'm staying close and connected to God. If the enemy's not afflicting me and I'm going through a season where maybe I'm on the mountain, hey, I'm still going to praise the Lord there anyways. It doesn't matter whether I'm up, I win, whether I'm down, I win, because we are called to be fruitful and multiply, and God has it set up and designed in his church that even the hard times and the trials are used to grow you and multiply you. Even the physical body teaches us this. When you go to the gym is not a place of growth. It's not. You know this, Brother Adam, Brother Nick, we just got a workout in yesterday. My arms are feeling it. You know what I did? You know what we did in the gym? The gym is a place of affliction. It's not a place of growing muscle. It's a place of tearing muscle. You tear your muscle in the gym. And the physical body even teaches us this. And the way you recover is what allows growth to take place in your life. The problem is we have to be careful on how we choose to recover. I can't just sit on the couch and eat a bunch of Twinkies after a hard workout because I'm not putting the right things in my body to grow after going through a hard affliction in the gym. Oh, shatarabaha. It's the same thing spiritually. You can't turn to the drugs and the alcohol and the fornication and the parties and that lifestyle out there when I know you're trying to drown out the pain, but that's not where you turn in the place of affliction. That's not where you respond.
I know it hurts, but hey, I'm going to get to the altar. I'm going to get to the house of God. I'm going to open up. Come on. I'm going to allow this to work for good. Oh, Shatarbahaya. Some of you are receiving that now in the Holy Ghost. You've got to believe that the pain is working for good. Oh, would you lift your hands and receive the word of the Lord right there? In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord God, for fruitful, multiplied growth that you're bringing to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, through all the pain, through all the hurt, through all the brokenness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to learn how to let pain drive you to that place of prayer. You've got to allow brokenness to work for good in your life. Why? Because the scripture says, God is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you're broke, when you're crushed, when you're facing a hardship, that is an opportunity to be closer to God than you ever have before. It was the brokenness of Job's life that real worship came into play. Job lost everything, but he bowed himself low and he cried out to God in worship. It is the affliction of your life that ought to pull out the worshiper in you. I don't feel like dancing and praising God, but there's nothing like when I see somebody. Hey, we got somebody in our church right now that's going through one of the hardest seasons I've ever seen a person have to go through. You know how encouraging it was to see on a Monday night prayer when we came up on a Sunday night and they were preaching the word. She came up and she just started praising God. And I thought, she's not doing that just because she feels like it. She knows she's facing hell, but her response is that I'm going to grow through this. I'm going to multiply through this. I'm going to give God the glory in my situation and trust him to work it out for my future. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing like seeing saints of God respond. It was encouraging to see you come up and get prayer in moments of hardships and trials because you're trusting God to do a work in your life through trauma, through pain, through offense. God is turning the situation around for good, but you've got to stay in it to the very end. It is God that is close to those that are broken. It is God that is close to the afflicted, to those that have faced hardships and traumas. David teaches us about, I believe David wrote Psalms 119. Some people believe somebody else wrote it, but he gives us a powerful principle. In Psalms 119:67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Think about that. Before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. Sometimes when things are going good, perhaps God knows this, it's human nature. It's real easy to forget about God and just walk away from God. Sometimes maybe that's why God allows us to go through some of the things that we have to go through. Not because he's trying to kill us. Because he knows it's the very thing that might keep us. Some of us can't handle all the blessings that God wants to give. I don't want God to give me things before I can handle it. Sometimes it's the very thing of affliction that's keeping me humble. It's keeping me close to him. It's keeping me at the altar. It's keeping me in prayer and devotion. It's keeping me close to my Father. And that's all he's ever really wanted, was to be close to his people so that they could be fruitful and multiply. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then in Psalms 119, he skipped down 49. He says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction. Your word has given me life. He said, before I was afflicted, he said, I was just living life how I wanted to live. Perhaps the affliction became so bad, the trauma that was surfacing was so tough that finally it got him to a place that says, listen, now I've gotten to a place
where I have found comfort in the Word of God. It's given me life. It's given me hope. I've seen people come into church dealing with severe pain and affliction and trauma, and that some people say, I just want to sleep here all night. Because it's the only place that they feel peace. Because it's a place where the Word of God is freely flowing. The Spirit of God is here. The love of God is here. And they want to stay in it forever. The affliction has drove them. And that's what he says. He says, before I was afflicted, I was going astray. During my affliction, he said, I have learned to keep the Word and trust in the Word. But look at Psalms 119, 71. He ends it with this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. He ends it with that. Thank God that I went through everything that I went through, because it's caused me to learn about God, to learn about myself. It's brought a healing in my life. God has done a work in my life through it. Before the affliction, I was going astray. During the affliction, I kept the Word of God and I hoped in His Word. It led me to a church. It led me to an altar. It led me to the presence of God. And now that I've gone through everything, thank God for the affliction and the pain. Thank God for the hard work out. Why? Because I have grown. I am stronger. I am more fruitful than I ever have been before. Oh, clap your hands if you believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the word of the Lord I feel that God is bringing to this church. He's talking about fruitful, multiplied growth. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to multiply, and God wants you to grow. And it is the trauma and the pain of your life and the things that you've gone through that is the very thing that God wants to use to do a great work in your life. I don't care how bad your past was. I don't care how hurt you were and how hurt you've been. We serve a God that uses all of my mess to turn it around for a great message in my future. And Joseph gets to the end of his life, or he gets to that place where he's finally gone through everything. And he says this, all that trauma we talked about, everything he'd been through, all that betrayal, all that abuse. He has two sons. He says, the first one I'm going to name him Manasseh. Manasseh. He says, because God has caused me to forget all of my toil. Now, I don't believe that that means he literally forgot everything. What it really means is that God, through everything that I've been through, has brought a healing in my life. Manasseh. And he says, the second is Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God has allowed this thing to work for good in my life. The trauma, the pain, the abuse. And as you continue to grow, and as God continues to grow this church to a greater level, I can see it in the spirit what God's wanting to do. It's going to first start with allowing your pain to draw you to that place of prayer and that place of purpose where God can till up, where you can till up that ground and get to that place of good ground where you're giving God everything. As my wife had talked about, you're giving him all the hurts. You're giving him all the pain. You're letting God do a work in your life. And it's through that, when you get to the very end of everything that God's done in your life, you will see that God has used this affliction for good. God has used the pain and the abuse and the trauma for good. Come on, somebody. Do you believe that? Come on. You believe that we serve a God that can turn all things around? Come on, would you stand with me? I'm coming to a close here. Hallelujah. If I asked, you know, trauma, like I said before, it's a real big buzzword. I hear it all the time. I work in education in the schools. You got to be what they call trauma informed and learned about trauma and and students that have dealt with trauma and how to recognize trauma. And it is a real thing. And I hear trauma. I hear this word trauma all the time. And I think now I've heard it more in the last couple years than I've ever heard it. I hear it being talked about in the church. And I think it's so important, as I talked about before, that we've got to learn how to see trauma, how to see affliction, how to see pain, how to see hardships through the lens of Scripture. And Scripture teaches us that it is these things that allow growth in our life. It is these things that allow us to multiply in our life. If I went around in this room and I asked everybody, I said, have you ever heard of, I do this all the time. I've been around and spoken to different schools, different things. I'll say, do you know what PTSD stands for? I guarantee you, most everybody knows what PTSD stands for. Post-traumatic stress disorder. But then I'll ask him, I'll say, have you ever heard of PTG? Nobody will know what that is. Everybody knows what PTSD is. Why? Because our world's so negatively focused. And the enemy just wants to label you and give this label as a crutch for you to never get the full healing that God has for you. But PTG stands for post-traumatic growth. They have done studies for years and years over people that have went through severe trauma, severe hardships, and severe trials. And what the studies show, Brother Nick, is that the post-traumatic growth says it is the very traumatic experiences that person went through is what allowed a greater growth to take place for them in their future. It's what allowed them to become more resilient. It's what allowed them to become stronger. It's what allowed them. Come on, we don't ever hear about these things. The body is meant to respond and recover in greater ways than what you can even imagine. And when you turn it to God and let God do the work, I'm telling you, He can turn all your trauma into great triumph in your life. How many of you believe that this morning? Oh, how many of you want to grow in God and the things of God and want to walk after God with all of your heart and say, God, I am ready. I'm going to let the pain of my past work for good in the future. I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to give my spirit to you. I'm going to give all my trauma and all my abuse to you. It's going to allow fruitful, multiply growth to take place in my life. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. I'm asking that you'd come forward right now. I'm asking that, come on, there's a healing that God wants to do. God wants to touch your mind. God wants to touch your spirit. God wants to do a work in you right now in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to step out of your pew and respond right now and let the Holy